Nagel End, the big tall house, been a tannery at one time. I'll tell you, anybody that walks round there, just have a look on the, what shall I say, the north-eastern corner, the corner nearest the road of the building. There's a sandstone block stone nearly halfway up the wall, and you'll see carved on that sandstone, Jesus wept. There's not many people know it's there, but I know it's there. I think it's one of the Leithley family that's there now, I believe. I work for Frank Leithley, the chap that had the painting and decorating business there. His grandfather started this business, and I worked there as a lad, and we used to have a great big vat in the backyard there at Nagel End where we slaked lime. And ladies from the village used to come with their buckets and wanted a bucket full of lime to lime wash their outhouses out or the ceilings, and we used to sell them 2 pennyworth of lime for put some dolly blue in, and that was it. There was a way doing the lime washing. The beck, the Hutt's Beck as we call it, runs underground there. There was a place where they like a sunken bath sort of thing. It was a sunken pool where they used to soak the hides for the tannery, I believe. Anyway, we got round the corner, and the stream flows under the house. What's the name of the big house? Miss Thompson used to live there. Is it Westwood House, I think they call it? And the other side of the house, Franklin the butcher used to have his slaughterhouse, and he used to slaughter cattle in there, cattle and sheep and whatever, pigs, slaughter them there, and he used to sell meat all around the village. We'll go back up into Grulthorpe itself now. We're in Wapping now. This part of Grulthorpe is called Wapping. I'm not sure why it's called Wapping. It's same as Wapping in London, the suburb of London, Wapping. Used to be a pub down here called the Royal Oak. When I first knew that place, there was a chap called Scoresby lived in that Royal Oak. People used to say he was related to Scoresby, the whaling skippers from Whitby, but I don't know. I think that'd be a bit of a stretch of imagination somehow. But anyway, Buckle, the quarryman, lived down there. H.O. Buckle, the chap that had the quarry that I referred to previously. Well, Buckle had the quarry down there, had the house down there, and he had a fire down there, and burnt out more or less Oak Tree Cottages, which was the cottages next door to the Royal Oak Inn. The people that I knew there was the Harrison family. He was a big friend of mine with George Harrison. He was in the army at the same time as me, and we used to spend a lot of our leaves together. And George, alas, died some years ago. And he had two stepbrothers and Harry, another brother that lives out at Chester, I believe now. Apparently Harry's still alive at Chester. He married another local farmer's daughter called Flora Lodge that used to live up at Glen Farm. Anyway, in this bottom, there's the Moore family and the Lonsdale family. They're all related. They lived at, Oak House, did they call it? Anyway, they lived in the cottages next door to the Royal Oak Inn. Lenny Lonsdale. Lenny was killed in Italy. His name's on the war memorial. Lenny, just a little bit older than me, he was killed with the Sherwood Foresters in Italy. He had a brother, Leslie Lonsdale. When Leslie died, he was in an accident in a quarry where he had his leg broken. He lost part of his leg. He died some years ago. But I think the girls are still alive, the Lonsdale girls. The Moores have gone. Jim Moore, he came into the army where I was. And he had a brother, I think it was his brother, Terry Moore, that went to Australia. Anyway, we'll go back up the hill now. And up on the top of the hill, there's the Raby Cottages, where There were three cottages in those days. There was the Ashby family in the end, the one nearest the edge of the hill, Mrs. Dobby, Auntie Dobby they used to call her, and the Bainbridge family in the other one. Auntie Dobby was well known. She used to take, Auntie Dobby took, when the Feldac fall off the, in 1930-odd, a lot of the axemen, the woodmen, the lumberjacks lodged with Mrs. Dobby there. And Bainbridge, the foreman, one of the foremen on the job, he lived in the other house, Arthur Bainbridge. Then there's the pub. The pub, the Hackfall Inn. When I first knew it, it was Mrs. Lee. And then it changed hands quite a few times. And the one I remember mostly when I lived there was Jim Hartley and his wife, Mrs. Hartley, that had the pub next door. And Jim Hartley tried to make a living selling his beer, but he also opened a fish shop up the passage between Raby Cottage is and the pub itself. There was a building up there, and he had a fish pans put in, and he sold fish and chips to the villages, which was quite good. And Susie Scott, who had the Crowner tail at the time, she jumped to the challenge, a bit of competition, so she started doing pies and peas in the Crown Hotel. So we was lucky in Grohl, thought then you could have fish and chips one night and pies and peas the other night if you wished. That's the Hackfall Inn. I remember it. I used to do a little bit of work for in there when a chap called Dawson had it. Nolly Dawson. I think Nolly went to New Zealand, but I was very friendly with him, and he used to deal in pigs and things like that, and he used to go and do a bit of business at night, and I used to look after the pub for him. There was other days. And across the road from where I lived was Franklin's, the butcher, Harry Franklin. He had the butcher's shop. There was a tin butcher's shop. There were two butchers in the village then, Trenholm's and Franklin's. Well, Franklin had a tin sort of shop in between the school and his houses. There were three houses there at the time, and he had a metal corrugated butcher's shop, had Franklin. Quite a character was Harry Franklin. I can always remember as a boy, at the shop, my father used to go down to the Crown and have a game of dominoes and a drink with his pals. And then they'd all come back about 10 o'clock at night after the pubs had shut. Franklin would open the butcher's shop and the men had gone by a Sunday joint of beef. And then they'd come across the road and my dad had opened the shop and they'd sell them some chocolates or something for them to take on the wives. And I used to sleep above the shop, and I used to listen to all these jokes and laughing and going on at night, and they're talking about, usually the ex-soldiers would be talking about life in Flanders during the war and all that sort of thing, and I'd be as a young lad listening to it all. And then everything had settled down, and we'd all go to, we'd think we're going to sleep for a Saturday night. And all of a sudden, up the village would come a local celebrity, shall we say, called Tommy Gale. China Gale, his name was. His nickname was China Gale. How he got the nickname, they told me that when he was a little boy and lived down near the pond, he got his mother's bathtub out and he put it down on the pond and jumped in, and they said, "Where are you going, Gale?" He says, "I'm going to China." And that's how he got the name China Gale. But he lived with his parents then up Ilton Road, on the right-hand side before you get to Wilson's Farm, right-hand side. And he used to come up the village full of beer, singing his head off, "I'll take you home again, Kathleen." Every Saturday night it had happened. And Franklin the butcher would stick his head out the window and say, "Shut your beer, row, Gale, and get yourself home." I can always remember that. And Virginia House, that belonged to my auntie Nora, that looked after my granddad in latter years. She was 90-odd when she died. She died in a home in Ripon, but she was the longest member, the oldest member, of Grewthorpe Methodist Chapel. She used to go there every Sunday, twice on a Sunday. Well, my grandfather used to go as well. But my grandfather bought the Virginia House, which is opposite the school. But I remember at that time living in there was the Ascough family. Jack Ascough and his wife. Jack was the... He was the local... she was the caretaker of the school. She used to scrub the school out lovely during the... But Jack was... he used to go round with the threshing machines. He used to go round with Jackson's of Kirby Balzer, who used to have a steam engine, that used to go round the villages, under the farms, late at night, setting it up ready for threshing the next day, threshing the corn and that. And he used to go down Wapping, down the hill towards Ackfall, and in the stream at the bottom, they used to chuck a hose in and soak up water, get a few gallons of water in, ready to go on to the farms. And they would be towing maybe a car or something behind them, ready to get back home. And Ackfall House then, that was the entrance to Ackfall Woods, where you paid your money, I think it was about sixpence, to the Stelling family, Mr. Stelling. And you went across the road. You could get a cup of tea, ice creams and all sorts in Mrs. Stelling's shop, cafe or whatever, and then you pay, went into Ackfall. There was a little cottage next door, Ackfall Cottage it would be, and this old lady, she came from Leeds originally, and she had a son, Jack, played cricket with us, Jack Badgett, and they was all taking, when they fell in Ackfall in 1932, was it, 32, 33, fell in Ackfall, and Mrs. Padgett, Mrs. Dobby and the pubs and all that were taking these axemen in. They had quite a lot of lumberjacks because there was no mechanical tools then. It was all crosscut saws and axes and things. And they were all taking lodgers in. Well, Mrs. Padgett thought she'd get in on the axe. She could do with the lodgers, thought, to supplement her income. So she put a notice in the window, young men taken in and done for. And that was Ackfall.